Joe presents Swanee's Cricket Show, together with Rubicon.
Welcome to Swanee's Cricket Show.
Sorry about the crowd.
Joe, together with Rubicon. The crowd are awful this week.
Where's Rocket?
What is
Thomas
going
Cook,
on?
Cook, he's on holiday again.
Let's get in here, come on. I reckon it's all the celebrations of the World Cup have finished our crowd.
Lord Mayor's show now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Bit of a hangover still.
Oh, right, Swanee, take a seat.
Early on, though, let's just big shout-out for the Outlaws. Not had a great start to the 2020, so I'm showing a bit of solidarity to them. Come on, you boys.
That's a lovely shirt. I'll tell you about my shirt in a bit, but I just wanted to say, you know the score by now. We're here throughout the World Cup and the Ashes.
You know the World Cup's finished, don't you?
Yeah, great.
Yeah. I was just checking.
Yeah. Right, have you recovered from the World Cup celebrations? Because the last show we did, it was obviously right after England done the business.
I know. I think so, yeah. I think everyone came down to earth, first innings against Ireland, didn't they? When we're, 40-8 at one point. Back with the bang, Red Bull cricket now. Here come the Ashes. Could be the worst Ashes series on show. Two of the best bowling attacks in the world and the worst batting lineups by the looks of things. Well, so, could have 3-day test matches all the way through.
You kind of mentioned...
I'm only joking, boys. Get your heads down.
You kind of mentioned...
50,
where
take your guards, start again.
Where I wanted to go, which was the Ireland test, which... It has to be one of the most bizarre test matches I think I've ever seen.
I'll tell you what was brilliant about it. Not the fact it was a green pitch, but that was like a proper day one county championship pitch. England batting, I knew that Tim Murtagh would be nigh on unplayable. Tim Murtagh, proper, honest county seamer, been doing it for years. And sure enough, he was unplayable. Like, test batsmen, they're used to quick bowling. They're used to really coming up the bat, not a great deal of swing, not a great deal of nip. Mertz, 65 mile an hour. Sorry, Mertz, 75 maybe. Swingers nipping it. He was unbelievable. So a part of me, part of the old school county cricketer, was loving that.
Will the Aussies be licking their lips, though, having seen how England performed in that test, although they won?
Well, I don't know, because they were playing a game at the same time. Australia A v Australia, basically. Graham Mick's team beat Brad Haddin's team.
Right.
And the scores in that game were 98 all out, 100 all out, 160 all out, and 160 for six. So I think both teams are looking at their batsmen and going, what's going on? Anybody?
Do you think they're trying to play mind games or something?
No, I think it's the modern player. Just can't play Red Bull cricket.
This guy.
Right. That was a bit David Brent, though, wasn't it?
It was a bit. Right, each week on the show we have a guest, and what a guest we have for you this week. A man who's played in 3 Ashes series, took 6 wickets in his first Ashes test, 125 test wickets. It's the Middlesex pace man, Steve Finn's here, everyone! Come on.
I love this man as well. Hello, sweetheart. Honestly, we could not get a nicer man from county cricket than
Absolutely
Philly.
Massive as well.
Yeah. You, all in proportion, obviously.
If I was in proportion, I'd be 9 foot tall. There you go.
You know, just goes out off the watershed sometimes. So.
Right,
your
also...
mum might watch this, Steve.
She knows.
Yeah.
We've got a guest in the second part of the show as well, where we're going to drill down into this series specifically. But I really want you boys to put us in the shoes of the teams. So, as you're both ex-England men, what will the mindset be of the players at the moment?
Well, the week before the Ashes, it's possibly the most exciting week you have as a cricketer. You look forward to it, don't you? All through your life, you want to play in an Ashes series. When you get picked for England, it's great, but Ashes series is just 10 times bigger. The hype, everything that surrounds it, the history. And so the week building up, you know, you meet 3 or 4 days before the game and it's quite laid back and everything. There's obviously a little bit of tension and nerves, but you're enjoying it. There's no pressure to perform at that point. As it gets close to the game, 2 nights before, the night before, you start shitting like a big dog, basically. It's a weird feeling because I wasn't one to get nervous before a test match, like the first 3 days, because I knew I didn't really have to do anything. My job was fairly easy. I'd hold up an end, the seamers... The onus was on them to take the wickets. Yeah. My nerves would come like the end part of the game when I had to try and win it. But Finney, you'd have to tell me, like before, the night before your first Ashes test, it was Brisbane.
Yeah, I barely slept, literally shit in my pants all night because I was 20, 21 years old, waiting to go out there and play. And all you hear about is how badly you're going to get abused when you go and play in Australia, which was pretty spot on as well.
Not by the players, though, is it? It's by the crowd.
By the crowd. I mean, I got abused by the players as well in that first game. Brad Haddin and someone else had it in for me, telling me I was shit.
I've been saying that it doesn't happen in the middle. People don't have a go at the players. Finney got it. Sorry, mate.
No, Brad Haddin would literally bowl the ball. He'd run past me. It was in the innings where he got about 170. Yeah. And literally every time he walked past me, he'd go... "You're shit, mate." And I'd be like, "What?"
You got 6 for, though?
Yeah, I got 6 for. Got 6 for millions, but yeah, ended up getting 6 wickets.
I've never seen a man so miserable when he got 6 wickets, by the way, walking off.
Yeah, oh, mate, that now.
By the time you talk to your grandchildren, that was the best 6 for your life. You roasted everyone out.
Yeah, it was a great experience, and like one of the best things about it was the atmosphere and the Gabba. It's all enclosed and everyone's on top of you and the noise. And at the time when we went out there to bolt, the Aussies were literally baying for blood. So yeah, the atmosphere was incredible, and then to silence them as the game went on and what ended up happening in that series was amazing.
Yeah. In the run-up to the first test, are there kind of times where you cross paths with the Australian players?
Or no.
Nothing like that?
Because before the game, you train at different times. So the home team gets a choice of whether to have the afternoon or morning training session. So you turn up and the other team have already gone.
Right.
And you share the nets and everything like that. You use the same strips. So you barely see them at all. It's only like in the morning of the game, sort of trying to suss them out from over the ground. But it's hard. First day of an Ashes test, there's so many media outlets on the pitch.
Yeah.
There'll be like 4 camera crews. All of a sudden, it normally takes 5 people. All of a sudden, it takes 50 each. Everyone getting their bit of the action. You can't see the wicket. Like, your trainer who's been out there setting his cones out, your international cone man.
Sounds like a good job.
Your favourite player.
But they go out and fight for position early on, don't they? Like jostle to get their side of the ground, stuff like that. So it's bonkers. It really is. But it all adds to the hype and the excitement. Warm-ups in cricket are tediously, disgracefully boring. And yet, first day of an Ashes, it flies by.
The reason I ask that question is because, you know, a lot of you guys are friends with a few of the Aussie players away from the game. But when the Ashes comes round, those friendships left at the door?
No, they're not, because, like I've said before, like in the middle, like guys, you don't get stuck into each other. Like obviously, they picked on Finney. They think he's a young lad. We're going to try and undermine. Yeah, Haddin's a bit different. He's a bit old school as well. So, but like Mike Hussey was one of my best mates. He was my captain at Northampton for years. He just ignored me completely. One good thing is the Aussies, if they are seen to be talking to like an Englishman without like spit and bile coming out of their mouth, they'll be absolutely slated by their own team. And I soft, mate. What's the matter with you?
I think they last Ashes series in 2015, there was a ban. The Australians banned talking to the opposition because they knew that we were trying to be friendly and play with a smile on our face.
Killing with kindness.
Yeah, yes. We went that way and they went the other way, where even people... So I played with Adam Voges that summer for Middlesex. A few weeks before the series, we were having a beer somewhere in London and you'd walk up to the middle to go and shake his hand and he'd just turn around and disappear.
But it's quite funny, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you chase him away.
What's happened? How's the miss? Is that the kids? Come on. I used to do it with Mike Hussey all the time. If ever I was short mid-wicket, I'd go, "How's the missus, mate? How's Amy doing? Did you get that house in the end?" And he'd just like... I go, "No, you can hear me, Mike." And this is a couple with Jimmy walking past and going, "Shot, Dave. Well, Dave.
My name's Mike Hussey."
Sorry, Dave.
you mentioned the training. So say if you've trained in the morning.
Yeah.
What do you do to fill the rest of the day?
I mean, if it's away, like if you're in Australia, you don't really want to go out, do you? Because if you go for coffee or whatever, you're going to get abused.
You get spotted.
And even if you see like the Barmy Army stuff, it's great. And they'll say hello, but then you're not going to be able to just sit down and have a coffee and there's going to be press around. And you don't want to be called a twat while you're having a slice of cake, let's face it.
I seem to remember you going down Harvey Nichols every day before a game.
Oh, yeah, but that's when you're in England. Gears. When you're in England.
What did he get?
Shocking gears.
No, it's Selfridges, mate, not Harvey Nichols, if you listen. I used to buy pants and socks. Pants and socks, I don't know, superstitious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you are away, like the players would stay in hotels, you play a lot of FIFA, play a lot of Call of Duty, for dinner maybe.
Did you two play against each other at
He's
all?
Good, it's good FIFA. He's not Call of Duty, man. Dreadful Call of Duty.
Yeah,
shocking, but he's a good FIFA player.
Who would you pick in FIFA? Who was your team?
Who's my team?
Yeah. You'd go Watford, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would actually. I'd take along with Watford, yeah.
What, and you'd be battering Real Madrid?
Troy Deeney up front, yeah.
One of the things I love about Finney's so homeboy Watford. He had, what was it, every goalkeeping kit from the age of about 4. Every year, he'd get the full strip, full goalkeeping strip. for Watford FC?
No, the normal strip, not the goalkeeping.
Didn't you have the goalkeeping kit?
I did once. Someone nicked it. I put it down as a goalpost somewhere and someone pinched it.
Oh, that's London for you.
Yeah.
Unlucky in the FA Cup final.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough to watch, actually.
When the Ashes are actually happening or in the lead up to the Ashes, you mentioned you're doing these Call of Duty tournaments, FIFA tournaments, whatever they may be. But are you going to bed early? Are you worried about getting enough sleep and stuff like that? Or are you like,
a
real
night
owl?
I'm a night owl anyway, but I'd try and go to bed. I'd try and be asleep by 10, but quarter to one, you still, you know, you either there's no point tossing and turning in bed, I think. You either get up and do something, try and make yourself tired, read, go on a computer, anything. I know, but you can't read. But, you know, I was the last of the intelligent cricket players, I think. I'd go and read to Finney, actually, sit in the end, go, a mouse took a stroll in a deep, dark wood.
Sing me a lullaby.
A fox saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good. That's a Gruffalo, isn't it, mums and dads? Love that. So you just basically, you waste time. Hotels can be great on tour because you can walk down the corridor and you all tend to be on the same corridor and there'll be a couple of doors open here, then you just wander in.
Right.
See how much dairy milk Finney's managed to eat in the last 25 seconds. He loved a slab of dairy milk, this boy.
One of the things we found out on the show, actually, I can't remember what show it was. It was early on, but you cricketers, you don't room together, do you? So
too big time for that.
But that's an interesting thing for me because when you speak to a lot of, you know, footballers or whatever, even footballers, they room together and they've got someone that they want to room with. So there's their council, someone they can speak to. Was there somebody for you, Finney, when you were in the team that you, if you had something on your mind or whatever, you went to them to get it off your chest?
Yeah, definitely wasn't him.
Don't blame him either.
Take the piss out of me too much. I toured a lot with Owen Morgan when I was younger. We'd always be sort of, we grew up together playing for Middlesex and yeah, he's one of my best mates, so he's probably the person that I'd go and confide in my most personal issues with. We spent a lot of time together, and like Swanee said, like going down the corridor and just having the doors open. When you're on tours in India or places like that, there's guys with guns just stood outside the room.
What?
We've been on tours before.
Honestly, Mumbai, we went back after the terror attacks and we went to Mumbai. I'm a sleepwalker, especially if I'm in a new strange
place. What, you actually sleepwalk?
I sleepwalk, yeah. Whoa. I've done it all my life. But I also sleep with no clothes on.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And the first night back in Mumbai in the Taj Mahal Hotel, it had been done over in the terrorist attack. So we had, like, security like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
He came out of the lift and there were four guys there with submachine guns. Or machine guns. I don't know what a submachine gun
is. It was a gun.
And they were sitting, you get out of the lift and look, with these guns. And I just woke up at, like, 3 a.m. and I was stood in the lift, so the door had opened, and I was just stood there, and I suddenly sort of came to. I went, what the fuck am I doing here?
No way.
Stark bollock naked, with these four guys lined up with these guns, going, not knowing where to look. And I thought, I'll style this out. Went, all right, chaps, and just walked up. Here and they're like, just trying to chit-chat in Indian, whatever, going, like, what's he doing? I got back. Luckily, my door sort of caught on the carpet, so it hadn't shut too.
Ah. Oh.
I just got in the bed and went, oh, my Christ.
Just a bit of friendly advice. If you sleepwalk, probably best not to sleep naked. Just, you know.
Well, I think, yeah, you live on the edge, don't you?
Quite literally. What were those last few minutes like in the dressing room before you go out to bowl in the first Ashes series, if you're bowling first, of course?
I think everyone's in their own zone, really. I think there's always music on, there's always... People have their own routines, especially in that last little bit before you go out. I like to sit there calm for 2 or 3 minutes in my whites, thinking about what I'm about to do. Some people like laughing and joking, but I think the thing about a cricket dressing room is it's such a diverse group of blokes, whatever dressing room you're playing in or whatever team you're playing in, that everyone's just very accepting as to what people do. Swanee would walk around naked for a little bit and then put his whites on and
I'd be a pain in the arse.
Really? So for someone like Finney who's trying to get in the zone,
Want to talk to him. I want to laugh, I want to take the mic. I was like a kid.
I'm not surprised at all. I don't know why.
I'll tell you what is different as well. Like, if you're bowling first as well, if you haven't already batted, do you remember 2013 Ashes at home? Trent Bridge was the first test, and we'd batted, and we only got like 200, and it was swinging all over the place, and we had to go and bowl for like 45 minutes or whatever, didn't we? Mm. And this sense of excitement in the change room, even though we'd only got 200, we knew we were going to get like a lot of early chances and the chance to get wickets. You got one.
I was
first,
on a hat-trick.
You got two,
You caught the second one, I reckon. You
left-hander.
Caught Cowan, Ed Cowan.
Yeah, he was it. Cowan. Had a drive, caught that, and it was like the ground was absolutely. But
amazing,
do you remember before we went out there, genuinely? like jumping up and down, saying, we're gonna be all over me. And
we Brodie got hit, didn't he? Brodie got hit in the shoulder or something. He couldn't bowl, and I opened the bowling, and it was the first time, or one of the very few times that I actually opened the bowling for England Test match cricket. So
Killed
I was
it.
Excited,
Nailed
pumped
it.
Up. Well, the hat trick ball. I was on a hat trick, and the atmosphere when you're on something like that in an Ashes test is just ridiculous. Like, the crowd literally pushes you in because everyone's fired up. Yeah. Everyone is baying for Australian blood.
I can't remember the hat-trick ball, what happened?
It missed off stump by about that much.
Kidding me.
Edge, missed off stump, yeah, to Michael Clarke. And, like, to this day, that's one of the things that I'm like...
That would have been amazing.
Did that ball not hit the stump?
I'll tell you what, though, what that did
something.
Do... I mean, cricket's a game of small margins. Jimmy Anderson's the most, you know, the best bowler I've ever had, most wicket-taker. Finney could easily be there. If that had clipped off stump... Because Jimmy Bob Clark with the ball
with
essentially,
exactly,
like, exactly the same ball, that you know was half a centimetre close to centre, flicked the bail off. We had them like four or five down that night.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Four, I reckon, three or four.
Yeah, hell of a game.
Great times.
Buzzy. We're going to talk about sledging in a minute because I want to hear your favourite sledges that you've used or heard or whatever.
I think you've got the we didn't sledge. That's the problem.
You've already told me what your favourite was, but hang on to that just quickly because I wanted to ask off the back of England winning the World Cup. Some people are saying that winning the World Cup is the pinnacle in cricket, and then other people say, you know, winning the Ashes or playing in the Ashes is the pinnacle. Where do you two sit on that debate?
Very, very easy for me. It's the Ashes by a country mile.
Right, OK.
Country mile. I was never that buzzed about one-day cricket, I'll be honest. I love playing in it, but paled into insignificance to Test cricket. Having said that, this World Cup, I was properly invested and involved in it, and I'm absolutely buzzing that they won it. And, of course, at the minute, those lads will say, this is the pinnacle, this is it. But trust me, winning in Ashes.
The World Cup was a culmination in the changing of an attitude in England towards white ball cricket and one-day cricket and trying to invest in that and bring a fresh generation of players and a fresh interest to the game by watching people like Owen Morgan, Joss Butler, Jason Roy, Jofra Archer bowling.
Jason, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason.
And like watching these guys play and wanting to emulate them is now... the modern way to get people involved and interested in cricket. And it was a great opportunity for us as a country to be able to inspire a fresh generation of people. And it sounds a bit cliche, but I do genuinely believe that seeing those guys go there and that moment of winning the World Cup will inspire a lot of people to want to go
I'll
and play
you,
cricket.
One thing that I really noticed about the Ireland Test on day one, how sort of old-fashioned and almost old the England Test team seemed.
Really?
Compared to the one-day team. You know what I mean? It was like... Oh, well, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a tee off a bit. No, actually, that good at one cricket, aren't we? You must have loved, he's a big mate of Tim Musto. You must have loved, even though it's horrible because England are getting rolled.
Yeah, it was like, he does it so regularly for Middlesex. Yeah. And we saw him a few nights before the game and he was so chilled. He was just so normal, Mertz, had a couple of beers. He was just like, he could well get on the honours board here. And he grew up playing for England under 19s. Wanting to play for England, never quite doing it, but to get the opportunity to get on the honours board at Lords, where he's played for that long, was just... It was almost written in the start.
That wicket was so Tim Mertz,
yeah, incredible. It was,
And also, did you notice his batting, Mertz? He's one of the greatest batsmen of county cricket.
They call him the Lambeth Lara.
Lambeth Lara, there you go.
Love that.
Because he's truly awful. He just tees off, he just tries to smack it everywhere, doesn't
he? Yeah, I think he's got to the
unashamedly frightened of the ball. I don't care.
His theory is that when he joined Middlesex, he averaged 30 with the bat, and 35 with the ball. And then his theory is that he just got too good at bowling to care about batting. So now he averages early 20s with the ball and doesn't care about
three.
His batting. Just slogged with
but
the bat.
I mean, you saw it. Like, even like nine down the test, back row, trying to hoik it over mid-wicket. I love you, mate.
I love all that. Right, sledging then. How much sledging goes on in the Ashes? Because you've kind of said that the Aussies sometimes ignore you and all the rest of it, but they are quite notoriously known to hand out the sledging.
I've told this. It's a media hype... crap out of this and pretend that it goes on all the time. Obviously, they'll pick on play. They picked on Finney, thinking he's vulnerable, he's like young, we can get stuck into him and affect his performance. I didn't have anything said to me. I remember Dougie Bollinger. We played at Adelaide and he'd grown up, you know, not reading the papers, obviously, but being read the papers by someone else. Believe him. That was a joke, by the way, anyone.
Believe, I just felt it was too harsh to laugh.
Believe
Where's
him.
Rocket?
But truly believing that it was like that you ran up and you said because of Murphy Hughes' funny stories. And after about three overs, Ricky Ponting just go, Doug, just fucking shut up and bowl. just shut up, stop it. So I'm kind of embarrassing everyone here.
Can we talk about Doug Bollinger's hotspot?
Yeah, have you seen it? If you get the chance, people, go online. It must be on YouTube. Just type in Doug Bollinger's hotspot. And it's when he's had his hair done, his transplant, but he hadn't spent a lot of money on it. Buy cheap, buy twice, Doug. And it's got like the hotspot camera on him. And it's magnificent. I mean, can you explain it?
He looks as though he's got a full head of hair when you watch him real life, but they've slowed down the hotspot and it's obviously got the heat patches and stuff. And he's just got like a fryer tuck, like gap there. And he's like bright white. Whereas like the slap and stick or whatever it was. Yeah,
you used to be bowling in the wind. You used to see like the sellotape coming out and flipping out. First time I played, Doug, he bowled as a coot. Next time he had this magnificent Captain Mannering job.
Is this not something that you can sledge about? Surely everything's fair. Game.
I think the Barmy Army had a good go.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So the Barmy Army are brilliant because they've got songs for all the players and they sing. They do the
sledging for you.
The sledging for you because mental disintegration, whatever Steve Waugh used to call it. I mean, notoriously, the Aussie team were like Hayden and Warner. They did, and they really got stuck in and wouldn't necessarily talk to you, but they talk about you, obviously, and you're in earshot.
Yeah.
And I think it worked for a long time. But Warney was a master of, like, he'd make people play him rather than the ball coming down. So that was the whole idea of it. The clever chirps and stuff like that, they don't exist, trust me. These players these days, I mean, not just the Australians, but the English lads as well, they didn't go to school for very long.
Right.
They're not the brightest bunch.
Complete my A-levels, mate. What are you giving up?
I said this lot.
OK, fine.
Jesus. How was that woodwork? Did it come in handy?
Coming handy for his batting.
The A-levels you like are a different thing altogether.
Swanny, you've mentioned the favourite sledge that you've heard. Just remind us what it was again.
Which one was it? The Merv Hughes one? There's a belting one that Glenn McGrath bowled at Mike Atherton. And he used to get Athers out for fun. But this one day, he played and missed, and couldn't lay bat on ball. And in the end, Athers got a little tickle on one, and he didn't walk, and the umpire gave him not out. And he's like, Aussies are absolutely fuming because obviously I've said this before, you have to walk, they don't. And McGrath's like fuming, just stood there, why didn't you walk, cheat? And Athers just looked at him and went, when in Rome, dear boy. And tapped the pitch. And then a couple of overs later, like an obviously bemused keeper turns around and goes, what's he fucking talking about? We're in Sydney.
I
don't know how true that is, but I mean, little stuff like that, they're great.
Yeah, that's what this show's all about.
I mean, Lammy's one was a belter the other week. He was on about Rod Marsh. Like, basically saying, mate, have you spanking your wife and kids? Are you short? Are you sick of boy?
It was a good one, to be fair.
Hey, 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 you hold the bed still and I'll try to hit it.
Right, you're watching and listening to Swanee's Cricket Show on Joe Together with Rubicon. Coming up, we'll drill down into this Ashes series with our second guest. Don't forget, you can watch and download some of our other shows, including House of Rugby with James Haskell and TKO with Carl Frampton. And this week, the boxing boys were joined by the former middleweight champion, Darren Barker.
Go on, box.
I've had this sort of realisation that it's only a sport. At the end of the day, he's lost, I'm gutted for him. I was just so happy that he was healthy. You know, he was there, he was still with us, and we've seen the shock news.
With Maxim Dadashev.
Exactly, and it just shows you this sport is unforgiving.
We were saying as well yesterday, weren't we, that you can sometimes mix it with guys that you maybe shouldn't be mixing it with for a little bit longer than perhaps you would if you, say, didn't have a steel set of balls or a good chin. Problem with that is, in terms of your longevity and your health in later life, those are the extra rounds where things can happen and the damage can be done. And those reminders sometimes pierce through the bubble, don't they? Make you go, life's too short. So I can remember ringing you, actually, about 2 months ago for a laugh. I said, if Golovkin rang you up now and was like, Darren, I give you £1 million for 2 weeks sparring. But you actually went quite serious on me and you said, no, do you know what? Sometimes like, I just look at myself and I think, I don't want to take any more shots to the head or anything.
I still pinch myself now, you know, what I put my body through was borderline madness because it's a dangerous, dangerous sport.
That's Darren Barker on this week's TKO. And next week, the boys will be in Philadelphia as Carl returns to the ring to fight the Mexican Emmanuel Dominguez on August the 10th. Come on, Carl.
Nice fight, Carl. Good fight. Good fighter as well, Dominguez.
Yeah.
He's quick on his feet.
So I've heard. This is Swanee's Cricket Show. I'm Nick Wright, along with, of course, Graham Swan next to me, and England fast bowler Steve Finn.
Go, Finn!
come on. Right. Right, there's two teams in this race, so let's hear it for our second guest, cricket writer, commentator, filmmaker, man of Melbourne, Mr. Jared Kimbersy! Been waiting patiently as well. Come on in, come on in. Good to see you.
Was he out the back when I was talking about Australians? Yeah,
he's great. Been watching the whole thing, mate.
Hi, Jared.
So, you're good? In for it.
I like your South African top.
Wow. Good outlaws!
Let's start from an Australian perspective then. How are you feeling about this series?
Oh, I think our bowls would be great.
Yeah.
If we picked 11 bowlers, I think we'd be, you know, it's a big chance. Look, I mean, it's going to be a race to see which team can score 100 first, isn't it, at this point?
Yeah. I mean, it was funny that first day when England are getting rolled. But at the same time, I like put CFAX on. If you remember CFAX? Obviously, put the internet on and then like looked at the Aussie team. And I thought, this could be like a proper washout of an Ashes series if both batting lineups like fail to fire.
Yeah.
And if the wickets are like the Lords one was today, if it does a bit, these bowling attacks are world class. They really are, the pace men. And if it's doing a bit, I can't see.
It was an incredible day. That Lords test, watching the other game, just going, how is anyone in the series going to make a run at any stage?
Everyone cancelling their day 4 or 5 hotels.
I mean, we've all seen Tim Murtagh bowl beautifully. We respect Tim Murtagh. We love him. But he's not James Pattinson, is he? There's a different level.
I'm getting him back. Ireland, thank you very much. We have more time in Murtagh. Lords test, get on. Members end. No.
Nursery end. It's
nursery
called.
End. I don't know.
That's the one. Come on, mate. You use the bowl. England are on a wave of kind of celebration after winning the World Cup, so, you know, their mentality is in a good place. What's the Australian mentality like at the moment?
They just lost a game against themselves, didn't they? So, I mean, they lost to England in the World Cup semi-final. It's not great, is it? But they've picked a bunch of blokes that they suspended not that long ago, so there's some good signs there.
Yeah. Look, morally, we can't pick these guys. Yeah, but we're fucked otherwise. You get them in the team.
What do you three make of that?
They've done their time, whatever. I actually kind of, I say it through gritted teeth everywhere, I kind of like the new David Warner because he's not just being a bell end. Because he was for a long time. And he's always been a good player. But during the World Cup, I kind of like the way he carried himself. And he's a better player for it. I mean, whether that carries on, he's going to get fearful stick from the Barmy Army.
He didn't seem to notice it much in the World Cup. They got booed everywhere in the World Cup. They got booed by, like, little old ladies knitting who were, like, you know, working the stalls at some of the grounds.
The one-day crowds just aren't the same as Test crowds, are they? Yeah. The Barmy Army grew en masse for Test cricket.
Edgbaston's going to be good.
And they get properly smashed as well by 4 p.m.
Yeah.
One day is, you know, you're there, you have your prawn
in
sandwiches.
In this heat, it'll be 2 p.m. just after lunch.
Holy Stand, Edgbaston is going to be great on the weekend. That's when he's really going to notice it. But to be honest, I think he likes being the villain a little bit as well. Even though he's trying to be a better bloke, he likes that. And Steve Smith does not notice anything, right? Literally, like, a UFO could land on the outfit. And Steve Smith isn't going to notice it. He's just going to keep batting. He's just going to take guard again, play with his pads, and Nick went off it, you know, here. So it doesn't matter.
We say that, but have you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons when Mr. Burns gets all the famous the baseball players, and we go, Daryl. And it's just got Daryl Strawberry in the crowd with just a single tear coming down his face. I reckon it's like that, deep down. The hard men say, I don't care.
What was Warner like to bowl against, Finney?
He chirped up at me as well. I think it's an Australian thing. They like chirping me when I bowl. The Edgbaston test in 2015, I was bowling, and I didn't start that great.
Pulled it back, though, didn't you?
Pulled it back, right, yeah.
Well,
I didn't start that great. I think I went for 24 off my first four overs, and he'd hit the ball out to deep square leg, and he'd run past me. He'd go, 127, referring to kilometres an hour, which is very slow. 127 kilometres an hour. It's about 79 miles an hour. 125, that one, mate. And then he'd go, 131. And really patronising every time he ran past me. And then I took a couple of wickets, and then he started telling me well bowled and stuff after that. So it was nice to turn his opinion around the other way. But he's challenging to bowl against. He's a world-class player. He puts you under pressure. When you're bowling at him, he puts the pressure back on you as a bowler, which, in my opinion, the best players in the world do. So he's world-class. And he, if Australia are to do anything in this Ashes series, I think a lot rides on him and Steve Smith in the batting.
I think so much rides on the conditions again. Because, we've got fairly warm but wet conditions at the minute. So it's swing bowlers' paradise. And I don't know what the Lord's groundsman is. He's no Mike Hunt, is he? He's not left batting paradises. They're proper green tops these days, seemingly at Lord's. If the ball's nipping, like we said earlier, these two batting lineups are not good players of a laterally moving ball. And it's moving excessively at the minute. it could be, like, whoever bowls best, if Jimmy Anderson stays fit, he could have a rout, an absolute riot in these five tests.
The ball's a new ball, right? It's
an old ball.
Right.
And that's the a ball from a few years ago that did more.
It's an old new ball.
Yes.
Right, let's call it that.
So, they've gone back. So, there's a batch of balls made every year, and the last few years haven't done as much.
Right.
Because they're all handmade, so they're all fairly individual. So, they've gone back to a year, like the reserve stocks from that year, and said, we'll play with these this year.
And the ECB will employ a guy to go back and find the balls that look like they're going to do the most.
That's how bad cricket is. I love the fact that there's a bloke swimming through boxes in the back.
Yeah.
How about this one? Because they all have a tiny little stamp on. So they've got a kite mark and like the gold little heart, the British standards thing, and then a line or tiger, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose it's a line.
Must be a line. Yeah.
But then there's a tiny little
Bangladesh.
There's a tiny little stamp that's been put in with the year, so it'll have like 13, 14, 15, whatever year it's been made. I always remember that the 11s swung round corners, and we used 11 balls until they all ran out. In about 2013, yeah.
Well, that was my next question.
So I don't
know
what vintage these are. They're like a nice wine,
right?
I think they might be an 18. It's an 18, yeah, lovely vintage.
Yeah. You know, but I find that really fascinating because I think a lot of people won't know stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that you're actually fishing out balls from a particular time.
And the bowling team, the fielding team, go and choose the ball they're about to bowl with. So you'll have an elected ball picker.
Right.
Jimmy did that, didn't he? Mm. Yeah, so Jimmy does it. It'll go into the umpires will come in with a box of balls, 12 or 18 balls, and you go through and you pick them all out and you find the one that feels best in the hand, that's like the best balance or the darkest.
You like toss it around the bowling unit and everyone looks at it. They go,
yeah, that's what. What are you looking for? Like, because I always see this on the TV.
Well, Finney didn't have a clue because, you know, he was Timmy was doing A level woodwork. But, so what you look for, the balance of a cricket ball is very important. If you hold it on the seam, you throw it up and flick it. If the seam oscillates in the air, it's not going to swing. It's unbalanced. If it stays perfectly straight, that ball will swing.
Right.
The darker balls, some are cherry red, tend to do nothing. I don't know why.
This is from a bloke who was usually asleep when we were picking the balls.
Right.
But who had so much experience in it. But I'd like, so in second innings, if it was down spin, I'd pick the ball and I'd go for one that just felt great in the hand. Some feel quite small with the seam quite raised. I'd look for the smallest ball with the biggest seam.
Right.
And then I'd scratch it straight away.
Right.
Yeah. To save the cameras picking it up like Davey Boy did.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, are the Aussies allowed to be alone with the balls? You know what I mean? Their sandpaper and all the rest of it.
Well, they don't be doing anything now, will they? That's the thing. You can't tour and tamper with the ball anymore because the opposition cameras are all over you.
Yeah.
So you're much better off doing it at home.
Yeah. Well, you're much better off. If you're going to do it, be clever about it, boys. Sandpaper, Dave. Bright yellow. I mean, talk of Cameron Bancroft. He's back, isn't he?
At least he's wet and dry.
He's going to get absolutely... You know, I've said this story before. Cameron Bancroft famously thinks he's got the heaviest head in Australian cricket because it was raining, strangely, one day in Perth, and they had some scales in the change room, so they had everyone lying down, putting their heads on, saying how much they weighed, and then Bancroft got in, someone just pushed it to the bone. Mate, your head's five times heavier than everyone else's. And he believed it. He genuinely thought he had a heavier head than anyone else. I love that.
What about the England top order, then?
I've just got clammy palms. I'm nervous, to be honest. I'm hoping that Finney is going to tell me, like, he's going to put my mind at ease and say that there's three or four of these guys are seriously class players who are better than they appear when they come on telly with an England cap on. And they're going to clean up in the Ashes. Steve?
Well, I think the people that have been picked are the people who have been in form over the last few years. I think Rory Burns has scored the highest weight of runs in the first division of the county championship over the last few years, so deserves his go. I think that Jason Roy has shown in the World Cup that he's world class, or before that even, that he's world class and gives another dimension to the top order batting. And Joe Denley, I thought, actually played quite nicely in the Ireland Test, was a bit unlucky, and then you're into our middle and lower order, which is very strong. So I'm not actually overly worried about it. Opening the batting and batting in the top three England is difficult historically. Yeah. So people are going to get low scores.
It's not Strauss Cook trot, is it, in England? Honestly, when we played for a while, that used to fill me with so much confidence.
Yeah.
We used to have Strauss Cook trot, Bell, Peterson, Pryor. What a top six that was in English conditions. You never had your pads on before tea time. I mean, it was amazing. Didn't always come off overseas, but This, you've always been number five or six for England. I'd be my thigh pad off from ball one at
right.
the moment.
Jared was laughing when Finney was talking. Is that because you think the Aussies would be licking their lips at this top order?
No, I just thought he was being very political.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I thought he did. He said, what our current
aspirations are. Exactly.
He's
a lovely man.
Look, I think we basically, England have been playing batsmen down to like 8 and 9 at times in this
Thank
batting
you.
Order because they don't. Recent times. No one knew that. Although. Surely he had a better technique than you, much better at
Finney
the night
got a brilliant 50, didn't it? Dunedin.
It must have been and then fucking
got,
painful to
and
watch.
And then didn't get a score run for the next 12 innings or something.
Well, I got 50 and then got a phone call from my agent saying, we've got a back-of-the-bat sponsor for you. They're like really keen. They pay you a bit of money for the next test. So I was like, great. Got the stickers, put them on the back of my bat. I got a pair in the next test match.
Believed his own night, didn't you? Got ahead
worth.
Of yourself.
Money's
yeah.
worth.
I was going to say, we'll find out. You're taking
a
bit.
Ferrari, I tell you, 0-60 in no time.
Toy
How was
Ferrari.
That Watford Ring Road, by the way?
Toy Ferrari. Yeah, it's still got the marks on the wall from that car crash.
Finney wrote off his, we first got these Jags, these super posh Jags. He was a young boy.
Was doing 30 miles an hour on a 30 mile an hour road.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
Black ice. Bit greasy, wasn't it? Bit greasy. He decided to take the driving aids off.
Right.
I don't need them.
Black eyes.
still scraping the rubber off the wall. Yeah, never mind. The easiest way to wind up Finney was to have a go at his driving, even if there's nothing wrong with it. This one day at Cardiff, out of the back of the change rooms, you can see the car park. And so he walked out, and there's his car park at the slightest angle, like probably 2 degrees. Yeah. Oh my God, Finney. Getting Jimmy. Jimmy, come look at Finney's parking. He's going, there's nothing wrong with my parking. Look at it, all day going, Finney, is your mum going to come and straighten that for you? No, there's nothing wrong with my fucking parking.
Must have been outrageous. Must have been outrageous with him in the team.
Horrible, ruthless, brutal. There's a young kid just
meant
trying to park my car.
You're meant to get sledged by the other team. Getting sledged by your own team.
Horrible. Right, and the best
I'm
thing about
it. I'm getting crampled laughing so much.
Was that. after I wrote the car off, every single one of the boys who got given a free car had to do a 3-hour driver competency test
no
to check
way,
that they
yeah.
were okay.
Because of
drive
you,
the Jaguars, yeah. Because of me, yeah. Sorry, mate.
The Stephen Finn manoeuvre.
Right, let's try and take it back to the cricket. Do you think we'll see any of these tests go 5 days?
I hope not.
I hope not.
It's more fun when they're 3 or 4. Let's be honest.
I actually said the other day, I think. There's one going to be rain affected. I mean, that's generally the only way I can see them going 5 days at the minute.
Yeah.
And not just this series. The fact that modern cricket tends to, you know, the test matches tend to finish early. And these batting lineups don't have a sense of permanence about them. If it's flat one day and Steve Smith gets in, your old school test bats and Joe Root's the same, they can bat for a day and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah. The other 20 players, I'm not seeing many.
I think there's only 3 blokes who average over 41 in this series over the last couple of years. So there's no... there's no surprise batsman that we're going to uncover here. Smith averages 65 or something.
Yeah.
He could bat for 3 days, and I think he might have done that in 2015.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I didn't play that one.
Only averaged 3.5 when it moved a bit.
Yeah. So essentially, you know, he could do that. But other than that, it's not. Everyone's here for party time. Jason Roy's in the team. This
exactly.
It's not a Red Bull game anymore.
I know I'll tell you this great story at Edgbaston during that semi final. I was Straussie was in the behind the media section, and Roy's second ball. You remember Stark ran up to bowl, and obviously he was doing a bit. Stark's bowled 95. He'll be shaping it. This is second ball just straight in the middle of the bat. Straussie just went, oh, I think somebody's just booked themselves 5 Ashes test matches.
I love your posh accent that you throw out sometimes. It's great. Right, we've got some whiteboards here, so I'm going to give you one each.
Thank you. Let's pass them down.
Pass them down. Got some pens as well. Right, because what I want you to do is I want you to give me your 1 to 11 for the first test. Jared, you do Australia. You two do England. You're 1 to 11. And talk us... Do it as quickly as you can, but try and talk us through it as well, just because there'll be people listening to this on the podcast.
Right,
well,
OK. I'm
trying to spell Labashane, if we're really being honest. It might take me another hour to get that. Could someone spell check it for me? Too many letters in it.
The top 7, Roy Burns, Denley Root, Stokes Butler, Bairstow... Obviously, my man Mo Ali's in there. Archer, I've got Joffre in. If he's fit, I think he's got to play. Just look what he's got. Broady is not quick anymore, but he's a bloody good bowler.
Yeah.
Jimmy is Jimmy. Jimmy's a brilliant, slow, medium-paced swing bowler who will get a lot of wickets.
Does he watch this?
Yeah, he missed my 40th birthday, Jim.
Slow I didn't medium. Get invited. Cheers, mate.
No, I couldn't find your number.
Right.
But yeah, I've definitely gone for Jofra. Surely with his run-up and his action, he's got 25 overs in it.
I think it's going to be Wokes slash Arch. I think Wokes, if the wicket is something like what it was at Lords, I think Wokes is... he's an outstanding bowler regardless, but even more so on a wicket like that. I think Archer is a point of difference bowler. I've faced him and he's bashed me on the finger and it's only just better now. It was a year ago he hit me, so it's only
just
got...
Did you have him in the car park? So I'll tell you
how. Do you know what? Actually, I was bowling at him and I bowled him a bouncer and it hit him in the head. And immediately, as soon as I did that, I was like, that was a mistake.
Did he say, you're history? Your guys are history, like no. David Malcolm?
So then I was like... Are you right, mate?
Sorry. Murtagh bowling, that was.
And he went, you'll be getting that back, Steve. And I was like,
I tell you what, though, that is very polite, isn't it? Put him, Steve.
Yeah. He said, yeah. That's the only thing he said to me, isn't it? You'll be getting that back, Steve. So then I walked out in the second innings, shit in my pants.
Did you charge him?
No, I backed away and tried to hoy him.
Apologies, didn't he?
Do you know what? First ball, he hit me first ball, but first ball, I was thinking, we might just try and blow my middle stump out and prove a point that way. I was wrong, so I was looking for the full one. I was looking for the full one, and it just went like that in front of my face. Squeezed my finger against the bat, gloves off, physio on, the whole lot.
I bet he loved that.
Turned around to the slips. I was like, I've pissed him off, haven't I? They were like, yeah, you did.
they were like, what, mate?
I was backing away that far, don't worry. And then, second ball, I was like, well, you might try and blow my stumps out here, but I'm going to try and hit him for six regardless.
Yeah.
And it was another bouncer, and I spliced it straight to square leg and walked off.
Yeah. Bolton.
Daniel.
Bolton. Car park. Car park, 20 minutes.
Who's going to win the first test?
I think England. Yeah, I think Edgbaston's an England stronghold. Yeah. I think it's a great place to start the series.
It's
a good
shout with Wokes, actually, for Edgbaston.
OK.
I think Brodie's place doesn't come under...
I thought Brodie bowled beautifully this week.
He did, didn't he?
He just held, holds the lane. Yeah.
England with these two then, Jared?
Yeah, probably England.
England.
But it's not going to be pretty. No. It's one of those tests. Yeah. It's a bit like Ireland with a slightly, I want to say slightly better batting lineup, but it's not, you know, just a slight step up. It could be a really messy test, so anyone's there. But yeah, Edgbaston, 2015, you took wickets there?
Yeah.
The crowd was incredible. Yeah. And the Australian players, they played at Cardiff, they went to Lords, and they were like, we got this. They got to Edgbaston, and they were like, fucking hell, there's actual people who give a shit about the cricket in these places.
Yeah, it's intimidating.
And then the Holy Stand started, getting into them, and they were like, it was a bit like being in Brisbane at times.
Yeah. Well, but sort of late on day two, the Holy Stand, like on the Friday, 4 p.m, when they're gassed in their city, I've not heard atmospheres quite like it at cricket.
Yeah. Edgbaston's the best atmosphere in England.
It's amazing. Yeah,
when England are on top and you're running in and the crowd's behind you and it's late afternoon, everyone's had a few, it's an incredible
place
to play.
They sing this one song that goes on for about half an hour. And then the entire Holy Stand, so it'll start going, we're the left side, we're the left side. And then we're the right. Yeah. And then when it gets to the middle, we're the man. It is ridiculous.
The Arsenal fans do it for the North Bank and the clock end.
They do the Arsenal go, I'm over it.
So they all sit in silence. Yeah, I'll
leave it.
Wenger out.
Right.
Listen, who's right, Wenger? It's unfair, I don't win anything.
Who's winning the series? Who's winning the series?
Season tickets are going up again, it's a joke.
Who's winning the series?
England.
I'm back in England, but I do think that it's going to be a tighter contest than people are talking up at the moment.
I cannot see a draw.
3-2, I think, yeah.
England as well?
Probably just England's home.
OK.
You know. I'll tell you who's going to play a big role, though, spinners, because they're not being talked about at all. At some point, the spinners are going to have a chance.
I don't think that's true. I don't think spinners make much of an impact in cricket, really.
Not this bottle, not.
Right, here on Swanee's Cricket Show, we have a bat fast in the studio, and it's dialed up for an Ashes summer, so we should get into the bat fast area. Come on, lads.
I'm not doing it.
Come on.
Is it true I don't have to bat this week?
I'll tell you when we're out here.
I've got flip-flops on, so I'm not facing Finn.
I bought powder puffs anyway.
OK, so we're in the Batfast area. Eli from Batfast is with us. I don't know what you've done with Jason and Gaz. Have you kidnapped him?
Oh, no, they're taking a week off.
Too busy.
Too tired this week.
No one's here
so
this
who should
week.
We send instead? What's that fella's name? No one knows it. E what? Yeah, you're good.
I've heard that they're on holiday with Rocket. I've just said.
No, I'm joking. Right, anyway. The boys now.
What are the boys facing this week?
So basically, we're going to give Stephen a taste of his own medicine this week. See how he fares against some shorter balls.
What? I didn't write this off, mate. I didn't sign this off.
Right, Swanee, you're not actually facing one this week.
Crank it up a bit, then.
All right, let's do this, then. Jared and Finney are going to be facing them. I'm going to get behind the net. Let's do it.
I'm going to go down the bowler's end.
Right, Finny, you're up first. Two deliveries.
I'm shitting my pants if they're going to be short.
No, no, you'll be all right. As long as they bounce on the green stuff, they don't come off too quick. Don't worry, Finny. It doesn't hurt.
The hole is where it comes from, all right?
I'm guessing that.
Yeah.
Come on, Eli.
Just letting you know, mate. Right, here we go. The machine is warming up. This is it. Here it comes, Finny at the crease. He looks nervous. Looks like a shit himself. Nearly stepped back onto your stumps, though, mate. That's careful.
That was powder puff. Eli, ramp it up. That was ridiculous.
Right, your second one.
You're a pig, Swan.
Charge it, come on. Smash it out of the park.
Bat on ball on the first one.
I did play a very Stephen Finn shot.
You played it well.
Right, here we go. You kept second delivery. Come on, Finny. This is it. Oh!
What a shot! That's a shot of the century.
Wow. Shot of the year.
That is unbelievable.
I think that's the best. No. Like, you broke the lights. The lights have broken.
Not just that. I want to replay that. After he hits it, watch him give it large as well.
That's probably...
That is surprise.
No, that was amazing.
Swanny, that's probably the best...
shot ever on that.
The best shot we've ever had.
Put your back down. You've done something.
I've done that.
Jared, I'm really sorry to do this to you, but you've got to come in after that.
I'm facing Swanee stuff, yeah?
I think you want to face Finny, to be honest, if you hit it like that.
Absolutely.
That was unbelievable.
That's a great shot. Unbelievable.
You feeling nervous after seeing Finny do that?
No, I was feeling nervous before I saw Finny do that.
What's your
have you got Tim Murta there? I reckon I could dick off to him.
What's your level of cricket ability like?
You're about to find out.
Right.
He's got a good stance. I like that.
Hopefully it's better than Swanee.
I've got an Australian bat. So.
If it swings, he'll nick it.
Here we go. This is it. After Finn did that.
Oh!
He had to turn away from that one.
137.
Did it hit the handle of the bat? No wicket so far, though.
Well, no, he's gone too short. It's Finny for Christ's sake.
I didn't see that.
Top him off, Stephen!
Impossible.
Right, second one. Let's try and match what Finny did.
I'll charge down and
charge and swing.
Right, check. Here we go. Second delivery.
Go on, Polly.
Remember, smash it, this one. Go for six.
That's
caught behind.
I told you, Nick, if it swung.
There's no way second slip would have taken that if it was
that's caught behind. Yeah. Right, so we've had
that's basically England 1, Australia 0. Yeah,
we've had the yin and the yang. Look at that. Right, let's get back in the studio. Urban Cricketionary time.
Finny,
come on, guys.
New hero. What a hero.
Fuck. Before we go, let's dive into Rubicon's Urban Cricketionary, a celebration of the weird and wonderful terminology used in the game. Now, each week, we give Swanee some cricketing terms, or he gives us some cricketing terms, and he comes up with a story to match it. Carl Courts, that's
Carl
the first
one. Stephen Finn sat next to me, and... Finny's best mate, Billy Godelman, when he used to play at Middlesex, who I love, by the way, big Pink Floyd fan, so I love him, used to make up Cockney rhyming slang. And Finny had me crying. And I remember walking in one day with a pair of shorts, and that's why I wore shorts today. And Finny just go, nice pair of Carl Courts, mate. love stuff like that.
But the only person not wearing Carl Courts is the Australian.
But this is positively freezing.
Yeah. It's pretty chilly, isn't it?
34, mate.
Otter's pocket is the next one.
Well, wet as an otter's pocket, so you might have heard that term.
Yeah, I have.
In other areas. Yeah. But basically, if the wicket's a bit green at the top, if it's a bit damp, what's it like, otter's pocket, boys?
What about Michelle?
Michelle Pfeiffer. Very simple, a bowler gets a Pfeiffer, he's got a Michelle. I think the Aussies came up with that one, so I think it's... dreadful, but...
There's Damien Fleming, wasn't there?
Is it Flemmer? Yeah. I like him. No, it's great.
The bowlologist.
Yeah. He likes his terms.
Very funny bloke, Damien Fleming. Goes against the grain, I know, from his heritage, but...
In Melbourne, that's a difference.
Greece.
And the last one is Spriggs.
Oh, here we go. It's Australia. I mean, I've talked about the double hat-trick schmozzle that Australia's come up with. 4 wickets, 4 balls, it's a double hat-trick. Oh, my Christ.
I'm still lost in that,
and
by
so,
the way.
Yeah, so am I. Dave Hussey all the time, rather than winding us up, going, oh, let's play some football and kick some goals. Yeah, shut up, Dave. You know, and when we go, get your sprigs on, boys. They're called spikes.
Right.
Absolute bunch of...
Right, that's it for this week, then. Thank you to Steve Finn. Come on. Also, thank you to Jared Kimber as well. Come on.
Thank you.
Enjoy the first test. Don't forget TKO in Philadelphia. And we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Beautiful.
You've been listening to Swanee's Cricket Show on Joe, together with Rubicon.